Sorry the episode's a little late, but we got our reactions to E3 2019 all lined up for ya. How about that new Xbox console? Those Smash Bros. Characters? That Final Fantasy VII remake? All those thoughts and more here on Good Game, Great Game.
You think you're crazy, and yeah, I think that's true. But baby,
it's Good Game, Great Game, the video game book club podcast for people that hate paper cuts but love button mashing. I'm Zach Rich. With me is Kevin Ryder.
Hi.
And Andrew Orsi.
You did it in the other order.
I did it because yeah, I usually like look at you, but I can't
Kevin
look at you.
Kevin was not ready.
I was not ready at the least.
No, it's fine. Like,
not at all.
I can't look at you two right now, so there's no way of knowing which one of you was... You know, which one's Kevin and which one's Andrew? I have no idea. I can't tell. Because we're recording remotely for the first time ever.
Yay! What a time.
All three of us are in different places. Well, that's not true. I just got back to New York today. But Andrew's in West Virginia right now.
Yeah, it's weird here. That's all. Wait, there was hail. There was like actual like quarter-sized hail earlier
Was
today.
There really?
That was real.
In the middle of June? Is that a common occurrence?
Yep. I don't think so. But I looked outside and I was like, what's that? And there it was.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
So we survived. It's fine.
It was like raining upstate, but New York is, you know, it's same muggy, crappy self. So
I'm sure you'll get, usually, like, my parents will talk about, like, they're like, did you get this storm? And I'm like, no. And then it comes, like a few hours later. So I think New York is just on a delay for weather from West Virginia.
For West Virginia, probably. Every time my parents are like, oh, it's sad in Syracuse right now, I'm like, it's great over here. So that was our conversation about the weather. Now how about we talk
cool
about
stuff. Great start.
Video games?
No.
Yeah. I missed the whole weather conversation because I ran to turn off my air
conditioner. I was like, Kevin is not participating.
Fuck. We can't even know. I thought it, like, oh man, Kevin loves weather. He usually talks about the weather.
No, it's all good.
E3 happened.
Either like he's super enraptured.
E3's happening, Andrew.
Yeah, E3.
Have you heard about this?
Yep. Nope. What is it? Tell
it
me
is
more, Zach.
The Electronic Entertainment...
For someone listening to this episode who's never heard of E3.
It was Gaming Christmas. Santa came down with a sack full of toys that we'll have to purchase in the future. But for now, you know, they're all here.
And to be clear, it was Santa played by Keanu Reeves.
It was...
Oh, definitely.
Jesus Christ. I watched Always Be My Maybe earlier this week. So... I was sitting there and like he shows up and I'm thinking to myself, this is the second time this week I went to myself, oh my God, it's Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, he's like having a
he's having a moment.
He is
an individual renaissance right now.
I can't think of another actor who's had just like this moment where he's just showing up everywhere and having
and
fun doing
like,
so.
Yeah, he's having fun. He's being wholesome. Everyone loves him. What a time!
What a time to be Keanu. It's Keanu's world, and we're all living in it.
Honestly, I can accept this.
Do we want to start with Microsoft?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
We're going to go over all the conferences, winners, losers, what excites us, what has us terrified out of our wits. But we start with the big M. Not the big N, but the
Mario.
Big M. Well, nice. Fun. Great job, Andrew.
Thank you so much.
How did? That's like the question.
So I remember.
That's the question.
I remember like thinking when, because Microsoft happened, was one of the earlier conferences. The only things that happened before were EA. Did Bethesda happen before or after Microsoft?
Bethesda was afterwards, yeah.
Yeah. So like Microsoft was one of the first things. And I remember thinking like, oh, Microsoft's going to be a big winner simply because of the volume of things that they announced.
Right. And they did show off a ton of stuff, but also I don't remember any of
it. I trying to remember back through, I'm like, wow, what was it?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting too, without PlayStation there, in terms of the cross-platform titles, Xbox really got a kind of exclusive market on presenting new things for that, but there really wasn't necessarily a ton of those, I guess. Like we saw a little bit more from like Borderlands and, you know, Watch Dogs is going to be on both, right?
Watch Dogs will be on both, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but they didn't get to talk about it.
Right, no, that was didn't. Even... That wasn't until Ubisoft the next day.
Yeah. But just like the concept that they had this opportunity to show all the third-party ones that would be on both systems, but there just didn't feel like there was a ton of them.
I think a part of the problem was most of the trailers. There was no... This was the thing... This like we'll talk about Nintendo later on, but the reason Nintendo was so memorable, even the reason that Watch Dogs is so memorable in comparison, was because there was no gameplay of anything being shown off in like any of those trailers that Microsoft was showing off. I can't think of a single game that was actually showing gameplay and it wasn't just like a story trailer.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through and I don't see... The only one you could maybe say is Fallen Order, but the gameplay was more shown at EA than it was shown at Microsoft.
Right exactly. Let's start with Fallen Order because this is interesting. I wasn't impressed by that footage. It felt just like a generic game with a Star Wars coat of paint over it. But from what I'm reading, a lot of what was shown off at EA Play and on the Microsoft stage was like boring, basic, rudimentary beginning of the game stuff. And the actual meat and potato, like it's a much wilder game than what was shown off to us. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, why didn't they show off the cool stuff then? Even like during the Microsoft part, the part where he's like climbing on a walker, Shadow of the Colossus style, mm-hmm. like that is cool. That was the one moment where I was like, wait, we're going to get to do stuff like that? Okay, cool. But for the most part, it just felt like God of War meets Uncharted meets Star Wars. And that's
yeah,
neat.
I mean, to a certain degree, a lot of like mainline games are all kind of getting that same coat of paint right now, and I think it's because it's been successful on certain games, and so it's just becoming a wash that's put on things in order to make them work.
I still have full belief. I think Respawn's a studio that has not disappointed me so far, and I don't think they're going to disappoint me with this, but it also just... This is the thing that I feel with a lot of the games at E3 this year. They just didn't put their best foot forward. They didn't excite... I'm not more excited about Fallen Order than I was when the game was announced. I'm still probably...
I am, just because I don't think I really thought about it when it was announced. And I will say that what you were saying about, like, the Star Wars coat of paint, it was a really good looking... Like, I saw some of the, like, panning of the environment, and I was like, this feels like Star Wars. Oh. I feel like I would just look at this, and it's Star Wars.
Well, and then, and like, he doesn't want to play in that coat of paint as well. You know, that's a very popular and highly desired coat of paint to play with.
Right. And Forrest Whitaker's character from Rogue One is in this game. Like, that's a cool get.
Right.
Yeah. There's it feels like Star Wars, and that's probably what's going to be the most important thing of all, but it was just like, okay, but what are you going to do different? What are you going to do here that Force Unleashed didn't do 10 years ago?
Sure. But even if it is similar to Force Unleashed, it'd be nice to have a kind of a new take on that series and that play style. And we only got to see the very basic saber play, but we did get to see what the game will kind of be like and see the things that will have the potential of developing further, but at least we did get the footprint of actually seeing it, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. I mean, based on the E3 like play material, you know, you'll grow 4 extra arms and have a saber in each of them later. So,
oh really? I didn't see that. That's cool.
Yeah,
it's not real.
You just become General Grievous. You just like a small mech suit,
Grievous, but as a human. And then Master Chief shows up.
Right. Great.
In Star Wars.
Yeah, it's
in
a crossover.
Oh my god, the Force has been in the Chief the whole time.
Well, that's not surprising.
That's no. I want to talk about my big what the fuck moment, which was Double Fine joining Xbox Studios.
Oh yeah. That, yeah, I was pretty surprised.
That was crazy. That was my like I knew there had to have been like another acquisition that was going to show up on that stage, but I couldn't for the life of me predict that it would be Double Fine. A studio that has like so much trouble with publishers and they're just like, fuck it, we're independent. Like, we're going to do whatever we want. To see Tim Schafer on that stage was mind-blowing to me. And then a trailer for Psychonauts 2 happens, and that's one of those
That was the thing, is that the trailer was like super casual. It was more like, we're having this discussion about how Double Fine is joining Microsoft, da 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 da. Oh, here's just a trailer, Psychonauts 2.
Right. I was like, what can they possibly show off? It just goes to show, I still think this is what's happening. I think that Microsoft is going to be picking up more and more on these really impressive studios that, like Outer Worlds right now, that's not going to be an Xbox exclusive, but they have that feather in their cap of having Obsidian. Psychonauts 2 isn't going to be an Xbox exclusive, but just think of what Double Fine is going to do next after that. Like, they just have this, I feel like they have such a stable now that once the new generation console comes out, once Scarlet is a thing, they're going to have just game after game after game. I think Phil Spencer said they want to have a new first party release on Xbox once every 3 months. And that's a fine clip to get a big marquee title out. And I think they've got the number of studios now that can do that.
And those exclusives are definitely going to pull a lot more people to buy their consoles. Like, even for me, I haven't had an Xbox One. And, like, now there's things like Phantasy Star Online that's going to be coming Xbox One
that
I'm so
insane.
Sad.
Holy
that
hell.
I'm going to miss. But I'm probably going to wait until Scarlet comes out because it's next year Christmas. So I'll just wait to buy it then. But they're getting these exclusives that I really want to play. And that's huge on their part. They're really differentiating themselves from Sony in terms of the titles they're offering now.
You know that, like, Phantasy Star Online 2 was announced to come to the West in 2012?
No, 2012? I didn't actually. Wait, really?
Yeah. Yeah, that game's been out in Japan since then.
It's okay. It's the time zone difference.
Yeah, obviously. we've been waiting basically just a day. What the hell else? I'm excited about that. And they're bringing it over for free, and there's going to be like small microtransactions if you need a boost to get ahead in the game. Like, that's the best way to do it. It's not exactly a new game in this day and age, but that's going to be a huge feather for like any JRPG. It feels like a callback to when the Xbox 360 had one of all those random JRPGs on it. I love that announcement. I think that's really, really cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely want to play it. Like, it's something that will be a reason why I do get an Xbox Scarlet, whatever it ends up being called.
Yeah. The new Tails game looks sick, too. Holy crap.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was really surprised that Microsoft got their hands on announcing the Tails game.
Well, where else are they going to put it?
And it looked so different from other Tails games.
It does.
I just felt like its aesthetic was vastly
it's a
different.
Sharper
it was super cool.
Image than what we're used to before. I love it. I can't wait for it. That's 2020, I think.
I found this is such a small one that was also remarkable to me. I want to say it was called 12 Minutes. It's the one where it's like
the guy's
caught in the time loop,
right.
Basically. I don't know. I just was like, wow, that's actually interesting. It looks unique and different.
Time loops are in, baby. We're all about the loop now.
Yeah,
we got Outer Wilds.
Forward into the future. I just want to live the same time over and over.
Yeah, no, that looks really cool. And I'm curious if it all takes place within that one single room.
Right.
Because if it
showed a bathroom.
Yeah.
So you at least have a bathroom.
Oh, do you have a bath? Okay.
Yeah. Which is great.
You get the poop place.
Outer Worlds was presented during Microsoft as well, right?
That was Outer. Yeah. Outer Worlds. Yeah. I keep confusing Outer Worlds and Outer Wilds, and I hate that.
Oh, I see.
I hate that very much.
Wait. Oh, no. Which one's which?
Outer
Worlds is space.
Outer Worlds is Fallout New Vegas in space. Outer Wilds is cool indie game I was supposed to play last week and instead played XCOM 2 again.
XCOM 2!
Cool. We don't have time. We'll talk about it later, Kev.
I've played so much XCOM 2.
I've played so much XCOM 2 last week. Battletoads is coming back. Cool.
That's a thing.
It looks neat. Cool, it's got this like cool Saturday morning cartoon aesthetic. I'm always happy to see a rare IP come back in its full form, which we'll also get into later because that's dessert. That's like the second to last thing we'll talk about because I want to talk about it, but I don't have Banjo. Microsoft Flight Simulator. Can I talk about that for a hot minute? Because that's going to be that's going to be my shit when that comes out. Holy crap!
I played like one of the early like flight simulator. I was like, I don't know. It used to be a thing for me when I was younger and there was a flight simulator and I had it on my computer and now I have the opportunity to have it on my new thing.
Of all the franchises to revive, I remember I was listening to Waypoint Radio during my trade ride back into New York and somebody brought up an interesting point that like it feels like Microsoft's version of 90s nostalgia is Flight Simulator and Age of Empires, which is, you know... Okay,
that's
here we go. Let's do this.
Interesting, too, that they announced their PC crossover with all of their Game Pass.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah. I definitely want to talk about Game Pass.
I mean, I'm not a PC player, but people who are, that's huge.
I think that's big. I think it's still a hard sell because you need to have the Microsoft Store client to get those titles. And based on how the reaction to the Epic Store snatching up exclusives and all that jazz, the fact that Microsoft is still putting their games out on Steam as well, they've committed to putting the Master Chief Collection on Steam, and I think that Gears is going to Steam as well. I think it will take a lot of pressure on Microsoft's part, one, to sell people on the Game Pass Ultimate. They've sold me on it. I fucking love Game Pass. I've been using it like crazy. I've been trying out stuff. They released like a ton of titles during the conference too, and I think one of those was Supermarket Shriek, which is this game where you're in a shopping cart and you're a man and a goat who have to scream in order to move, and their screaming is tied to the triggers, and it's a goofy game that I would never spend more than $10 on, but you know, as part of a subscription service that lets me play Forza and Halo every year, like hell yeah, and I gave it a try and it was very fun, and I'll probably never touch it again, but like It's junk food, baby.
It was free. I gotta be honest. When you said Supermarket Shriek, I assumed that it was actually just the game show Supermarket Sweep, except everyone's just screaming the whole time.
That's the energy. that's where it's at.
Yes.
I got rice. I got tuna. I got that Tootsie Roll bonus.
Exactly.
What else? Dragon Ball Z Kakarot.
Mm-hmm.
The 75 millionth adaptation of the Saiyan saga.
But in this one, it looks like there's a proper amount of screaming for it to really feel like the anime.
I guess it's like a full action RPG, which is interesting.
Oh, really?
So it's not like a fighting game.
I think that's
not
just a fighting game.
It's an actual,
most DBZ stuff has definitely been fighting games.
Right. Or just like whatever the hell the Xenoverse series was. And that's cool. Oh, Outer Worlds is supposed to be on Game Pass.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I
forgot about
that.
Right, because it's Obsidian.
I'll probably buy it on my PlayStation.
Right, but that'll be the last Obsidian game you're putting on your PlayStation.
That's true.
Say goodnight, baby. Bleeding
Gears
Edge.
Gears 5 in September.
What's that?
Gears 5 in September.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Gears is weird to me. I feel like that series should be more popular than it actually is, right?
I mean, it was huge.
It was huge, but like...
Yeah, it was super popular, but it's definitely fallen off the map a bit.
Totally. There's like no... I don't see any excitement for it. I don't see any like fervor for it. Like we want Halo. Everyone wants Halo, yes. But Gears?
Well, like, speaking, so I'm coming from the place of, like, somebody who didn't have an Xbox and never played the old Gears, and I have all four of them. I got, like, I think I just got the, like, Gears 4 Ultimate Edition that just gives you all of them kind of thing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. If I remember, and I went and I started to try to play it, and it wasn't that it was, like, bad. I just was like, I want to play other stuff more than this, so I didn't.
Right.
The thing that was the end.
The big hook with me and Gears is I did play it with friends when I was like in high school. So I played the first, I think, three came out while we were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I didn't really follow up with it. But I had a really good time playing with a friend because I think it gets more interesting that way in terms of it's more of a chess-like shooter as opposed to just a free-for-all. So
there's a much bigger skill ceiling to Gears.
Yeah.
I could feel that. I'd also say that Gears 4, from what I remember, was a poopy butthole game. Compared
what
to
do you
say,
mean by that? Is that the technical term?
That's the critical term that I'm using.
Compared to
Halo 5, which had a poopy butthole campaign, but the actual multiplayer was phenomenal.
Wait, there was a Halo 5?
Oh,
that
yeah.
happened?
Yeah, that happened. That was like 2015.
Have I lived under a rock?
I think so.
I definitely thought Halo 3 was the last one that happened.
No, dude. There's been two more since then.
Okay.
And then
you can tell I played this series.
Right. What else did Microsoft have before we get to like the actual next gen stuff?
Yeah.
Elden Ring was announced. I know
yeah,
that.
Interesting.
Great.
I feel like you're just trying to sell me on it by saying it's George R.R. Martin and Miyazaki creating the world, which is
incredibly
appealing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what it is.
Right.
It's something that I will pay attention to when it gets closer because of that, but I won't necessarily buy it because of that.
That's what
but
most of this stuff
well
is.
It's well reviewed. Yeah.
Right. This is like all of Microsoft stuff. Bleeding Edge. Bleeding Edge looks really, really freaking cool, and it's one of my favorite developers out there today. But until I see gameplay, like, what is it?
And Bleeding Edge scares me because it just looks so much like Bloodborne. And
Bloodborne.
That made me sad. Bloodborne. You remember the game that you got me for my birthday one year.
You mean, not Bloodborne.
Oh, Battleborn.
Right. Yeah, I was like, this is not London Gothic Vampires.
No.
It looks just like that.
It looks so much like Battleborn.
That's very wrong, sir.
Which was a game that I had a lot of fun with, but then it just went down so fast.
The good thing about Bleeding Edge, though, is that it'll be on Game Pass. So at the very least, people can check it out for free, as opposed to paying $60 for Battleborn, playing it three times, and then never touching it again, which is what
I did. It does have an easier player base to get to from that.
And Bleeding Edge is also not going into direct competition with Overwatch the same year it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So I it's got promise. It's a first-party title. It'll have Microsoft money behind it, and it's going straight to Game Pass. So who knows?
So we'll see what happens.
You know what else is going straight to Game Pass? Ori and the Will of the Wisps, baby!
Yeah.
Gotta get me some of that nice white boy. Can't wait.
You should really rephrase that.
I can't wait to play with my friend Ori in his second adventure. I started Hollow Knight last night, by the way, and I'm
so did
obsessed.
I was just playing it. See, I knew this is the kind of thing you would like. I'm just really bad at it so far.
Nope, I'm obsessed with it. I can't wait for more. Minecraft Dungeons is coming in spring of 2020. It's Minecraft Diablo, and I will never look at it again.
Yeah,
I definitely saw the trailer start and saw the graphics, and I was like, it's a Minecraft something.
Yeah.
Don't care.
A Blair Witch game. It's coming.
Yeah, right?
That made me
I don't know how to feel about it, because
a little bit.
I love Blair Witch.
I'm sure.
Blair Witch is like a really great movie, but like I don't know if I want to play it.
Right. And also, how tied to the movies is it actually going to be? Like, you can't just like play the plot of that movie, obviously.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely not, because it's you and a dog, and there is no dog in Blair Witch. So, unclear.
I want to ask the question, what is Blair Witch about? But I don't think we have the time or the energy to get through that.
Nah.
Basically, three people go into the woods and there's a witch.
Okay, great.
She haunts them. The end.
It was the first of the shaky camera movies.
Yeah, it's the found footage. It started that. And the brilliance of Blair Witch was the marketing, which literally was presented as though it's a real documentary, so people went into the theater thinking it really happened.
Oh, Jesus.
And that added so much to the horror
of
the
movie,
very bad. And that's why it was amazing.
I hate that.
You can't do that, obviously, with a game.
Right.
So.
Oh! Forza Horizon 4 is getting a LEGO Speed Champions expansion. Holy moly!
I saw that happening, and I was like, Zach is pooping.
That's the thing you've been waiting for. That's what I was waiting for. I love the Horizon series. Love it. I'm surprised. So this will be the first year since I think maybe like 2010 that we're not going to get a full Forza game. I think they're going to hold off on Motorsport 8 for next year. So that's a launch title for the Scarlet. So I was wondering what they were going to do. And this is exactly what I wanted. Because Horizon 3 had this great Hot Wheels DLC. So I was kind of hoping that this is the second expansion for Horizon 4. I was hoping they'd go in like a cool toy direction, but I wasn't sure what they could do to top Hot Wheels. And evidently they topped Hot Wheels. Like they had that Lego car out. It was so cool. But that drops this week. Oh, it's this week? How did I miss that? Oh my God, it's tomorrow.
How did you miss that?
Oh, you better play it tomorrow.
I'm probably going to play it tomorrow. We're recording this on
XCOM on pause.
Thursday, by the way. Sorry we were late this week. Just too much crap going on in our lives.
Yeah, it's hard when we're remote and we have to organize time and we have to figure out how to record remotely for the first time ever and
just make
here
it
we
all
are
work. Yeah,
we're doing it
for you, the people. What else was there? I'm blanking on anything else.
Well, honestly, the big thing at the end was Cyberpunk was during the Microsoft conference.
I don't know what to think about Cyberpunk. I mean,
oh, I'm stoked. I think it's
going to
be great.
It's probably going to be huge. I'm surprised it's coming out for this generation. I so thought it was going to be a next-gen game. It just looked
too much
for these.
Yeah, I know you were all in on that bet.
I think I said that last week, but...
You did.
Yeah, it looks cool, I guess. I don't know. I get exhausted whenever I think about it.
I'm really excited. I think it'll be great. And I like that they... I think I was reading an article about the demo where they talked a bit more of the specs, where you can go more of the stealth route or like a heavy gunner route.
Right.
I think
like
I'll definitely
DSX.
Play the stealth side of that.
Okay. Well, Keanu Reeves is there, and he's great.
And he's wonderful.
They announced a new Elite controller, which excites me as somebody that loves his Elite controller. Oh, so there were a couple of cool things that they announced like the day after at the... they did one of those what the hell do they call them? Xbox Live, Xbox.
I don't fucking, know. It's what like are the they Nintendo called? Treehouse, but for Xbox.
Right. I can't think of what they're called right now. But there were two interesting things coming out of that. One, they said that all Xbox One accessories will be forward compatible with the Scarlett. So any controllers that you have for your Xbox One will be usable on the next
console.
Wait,
that's so good.
That's such a great idea. Because I love my Elite controller. I'm more than happy to bring it forward with me. They also announced that they are sunsetting their work on bringing Xbox and Xbox 360 games to the Xbox One. They did one final big drop of like 20-something games, and they're moving. The backward compatibility team's goal moving forward is to make sure that all Xbox One games will be forward compatible with the Xbox Scarlett, which is outstanding.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that.
Absolutely awesome. Mm-hmm. And that last drop of games had a couple that I'm very excited about because I've always wanted to play Azura's Wrath, and now I can on my Xbox One. A couple of
this
other cool
ones. This
is
your moment, Zach.
Yeah, they ported over Star Ocean: The Last Hope. You know I love me some Star Ocean.
I know that.
The one that I thought was really cool, Two Human, is playable on the Xbox One, and it's actually available for free. So if you have an Xbox One and you want to check out a very crappy game that has a very fascinating history behind it, go grab Two Human. That's your little PSA from your boy, Zach.
There it is.
Yeah. So... okay, so Halo and the Xbox Scarlett. They didn't need to. I thought they didn't need to show anything. I thought they could have just said, and by the way, next year you're going to be hearing all about it. Because they didn't have anything to show, right?
Sure.
They just threw a bunch of buzzwords at us and then showed us a brief trailer for Infinite that was just like, Master Chief is here. He's ready to fuck. And there's a Halo ring. There's a sad dad on a spaceship. And we're going to shoot some dudes next year. Here we go.
I think that's what I would expect in the announcement.
I think the whole thing was just the significance of launching the new console with the new Halo.
Which is exciting.
I think that was the main point of it.
I think that's great.
It's the new console with the new Halo, and also the fact that they're creating a console with an SSD. That's going to be incredibly powerful.
I agree.
Well, I think the PlayStation is too, aren't they?
Yeah, they're both.
I don't know the PlayStation 5. I think they are.
Have we gotten that information? Yeah. I didn't know.
I mean, I thought I saw it somewhere that I was looking.
The point is that SSDs have come very into vogue because they're strong, and the fact that they're now going to be part of consoles is like an important thing to note, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to those shorter load times for all of my RPGs.
Hell yeah.
I think that's great. I completely agree. There's some games that just like their pace is so worn down by the fact that it has to load every single level. Like if these new consoles
like XCOM.
Holy crap. I can knit a sweater in the time it takes to load an XCOM mission.
Oh, I have. I've knit four.
Yeah. yeah, I think I'm you don't have to sell me on new consoles. I'm ready for new consoles. But you don't have to throw a bunch of buzzwords my way, not show off a console, not show off gameplay from anything. Like, does Halo look cool? Yes. It's all in-game footage. Like, they made sure that was, like, plastered right on the screen at the start of the trailer. Awesome. But, like, what are you going to do with all that horsepower? Because Sad Dad on a Spaceship with a Master Chief is not a game I'm playing.
I mean, sure. I'm also going to say this. Like, if... they want to like start putting the next gen into people's minds, and there's a ton of buzz about like Halo Infinite is going to be a thing. So yeah, sure, they don't have gameplay to show yet, but like if they hadn't shown anything, people would be in an uproar about that.
I don't think
so.
I disagree.
I'm on gaming Twitter, and I really think they would be.
I'm with Andrew on this one. Yeah,
I think all they had to do was be like, by the way, this March we talking next gen. But you gotta wait till March, like a good boy. Like, because they didn't talk about the Xbox One until they did a whole reveal for it. I think they could have just said, and you know this console's coming. It's going to be good. You're horny for this. Like, get ready to drop Trow and play Scarlet all day long.
I guess also then, like, if they hadn't done this, if they had left out Scarlet and waited to talk, like, what would the button on this presentation have been?
It could have been
you know
Halo.
I mean?
I could have
There's
been that
volume,
Halo trailer,
but like,
or it could have been. I thought it would have been Gears or something. Like, Gears just feels like an afterthought to me. Gears was just there, and then they had a stage for it, and they had this cool set, and then they show nothing for it. They're like, "Come back later. We'll show you some stuff." And I'm like, "I don't want to come back later. Show me Gears."
You have an hour of my time. My attention's done after that.
I got places to be.
Like, I have to make more popcorn conference. After that.
I gotta mow the yard, you know?
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
Is there anything else about Xbox?
We covered more than I was interested in.
Yeah, right. Me too.
Yeah. I'm just looking.
Yeah, I don't think we need to talk about everything. Like, when we get to Bethesda, I have one thing I want to say about Bethesda, and I'm done.
Literally, like, Bethesda fucking put me to sleep. I am not... The thing... Okay, Bethesda.
Let's just jump to Bethesda now. Yeah, let's do it.
Bethesda,
here we are.
It reminded me of the South Park bit of the BP president being like, we're sorry.
We're sorry.
So genuine.
Like... That's all that entire conference was. It was Todd Howard being like, hey, our game was bad. But you know what? You know what you need?
Battle Royale!
Like,
yeah,
what
it was,
the
it
fuck
was also
was
it's
that?
One of those things where, like, so I've been in so many situations where people acknowledge that something has problems. That's great.
Sure.
That's step one of having problems. Step two is talking about how those problems will be fixed, which wasn't done.
No, it wasn't. And all
they haven't completely been fixed, and they didn't. They were just like, yeah, we know it was bad. Okay.
Right.
It just makes me so happy with Nintendo. We'll get to it when we get to Nintendo
there.
Conference.
I want to bitch about Fallout 76 some more. Like, why? Why is putting NPCs in your game an applause line? What the fuck was wrong with that audience? Every time they started clapping for something, I was like, who's paying you? What is wrong with you people?
Yeah, there were definitely like plants
that
in that audience.
That entire audience had to have been plants because no sane human being would be like, we put a battle royale in a Fallout game. And I'm like, fucking yes! Like,
I really view this the same way. So like Big Brother... The show Big Brother does live vote-offs. I know, of course I'm going to go here. But it does
go
live
ahead.
Vote-offs. And whenever they have a contestant who they think is getting voted off, who is a little less than popular, they fill the audience with plants to make sure that it's cheers because they've had a couple times when somebody has gotten booed. So I really would not put it past them to have just filled that Bethesda audience with a bunch of plants to make sure that there weren't loud boos.
There was like...
Guys... Yeah. Guys, we need to stop talking about Fallout 76 or else I'm going to have to go back onto it and see if it's still actually that bad.
Kevin, you can't
do
that.
Don't do it.
As your friend, I can't let you do that.
Well, because we're just lambasting it. And I don't know. I haven't played it in a while. Maybe they have fixed some problems.
Kevin, you can listen back to the episode and listen to your voice go, I hate this.
But it might be a little better now.
No.
I don't know. No. I don't want to be an uninformed person talking about it.
Buddy, I'm informing you right now.
Did you hear, like, the only good thing that they could say about what they were like, yeah, our game was bad, but you guys kept playing. Thanks.
Thank you.
Like, that was actually what they said.
He's like, oh, and everyone was working together and being so nice. If the apocalypse happens tomorrow, I know we'd be in good hands. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
You guys are the worst, because now I'm going to have to play it to see if it's still that bad.
God. Okay, Kevin, you waste your time.
Here's the thing, Kevin. If you want to go back and play Fallout 76, you go back and play Fallout 76, but you do not put the blame on us for that. That is you.
I'm not saying I'm
going
to play it
choice.
For any extent of time, but now I have to go see.
No. Okay, what else was there? They showed off two trailers for ideas that are promising, but we don't have any idea what the games play like. Ghostwire Tokyo looked neat,
I guess. Looked really cool.
And so did Deathloop. It looked cool. There's no gameplay. I don't know what it is. It's another time loop. Time loops are in, baby.
More time loops.
I don't even remember Deathloop, so that's how much impact it left
Deathloop is the Ukraine game. It's the guys that did Dishonored. It's like the woman that wants to be stuck in the time loop and the I don't know, the cop dude who's like,
nothing.
I gotta get out of this loop.
I might have zoned out for that part because it was Bethesda. Because
it was Bethesda, yeah.
It was very Bethesda. That was the
first time.
I'm
going to talk about the one thing that got me jazzed in Bethesda, and it's just because it's me.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for Doom Eternal.
Yeah, baby.
I love the Doom series.
That can screw me up real good.
Yeah. Because like the 2016 Doom was like...
Did you play it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
It was like this joyous just running through and murder. It's a very easy version of like original Doom kind of thing. Because like the original Doom kicks your ass,
sure.
Eventually.
Mm-hmm. Kicks
Whereas
your ass.
Like this one, I didn't really find any spots in that one that like kicked my ass. I mean, I was maybe could have like put it at a harder difficulty and maybe it would have. But like it was just this like streamlined, joyous romp of just bloodily destroying monsters on Mars. And it's what I wanted out of a Doom game. And Doom Eternal looks like a more fanciful version of that, so I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, nice.
Nice. You go to heaven.
I've never played any
one,
of the
right?
Doom games.
Yep. You go to hell and heaven.
How exciting.
And, there's also going to be a multiplayer mode, so there's that.
Oh, okay. That sounds like fun. I never played it, but it's on Game Pass, so I might throw it on and prep myself.
It's fun. It's pretty mindless. Like, I recommend it.
Okay. Wolfenstein comes out in July, which I was surprised about.
Yeah, I was too.
That's a franchise I could get behind. I would love to try out those games. Commander Keen is coming back as a mobile game. That's dumb.
They were like talking about Commander Keen. I was like, oh, interesting. And then I was like, wait, is it
mobile game?
It's a mobile game. Yay! Rage 2 gets an expansion. Who cares? Elder Scrolls Online. Blurpty Herpty. Is there anything else here that's cool?
No, I'm over
important.
It. Let's go to the next conference.
Yeah. Ubisoft. This is another one where I'm just like,
Ubisoft.
Okay.
I have more good feelings about Ubisoft.
Oh, you like guns? You all about your friend Tom Clancy?
No, not that part.
Okay. Because that was most of it, if my clock is correct.
Yeah, it was a lot of it, but there were a couple things in there at least that stuck. Like, Watch Dogs Legion stuck out to
me. Yeah,
I want to
talk about the gaming grandma, because she's...
the gaming grandma.
She's my new fave. I have no idea if that game's actually going to play as well as that trailer showed it off. Like, that was the one where I was like, if I've been for the majority of the C3 being like, yeah, but where's the gameplay? I'm watching the gameplay to this game. I'm like, yeah, but is this the gameplay? Like, this one sounds too good to be true. If there's that level of like not procedurally generated, but if they took the time to put in just like hundreds of characters with hundreds of backstories, like, did they really do this? Or
if they really did that, I'm so happy. If they didn't do that, then they have implied that they did, I'm really mad at them.
Right.
Because that's what they're implying, and that's the game that I'm jazzed for. Because
this franchise has already burned me once. So
see, mm-hmm. I've never touched a Watch Dogs game.
I played all the way for the first one, and like, as a fun
this
romp.
This trailer was good enough that I'm in for this.
Yeah. Like, no, this was a really good trailer, but I'm really fascinated to see if this game's going to play as strongly as this trailer made it out to be. Because Watch Dogs, like, its gameplay itself is not exciting. I didn't play the second one, and I heard really, really good things about it, so that might be something I go back to. But I don't know.
I'm in the same boat, Zach. Yeah, I played the first one, and just didn't necessarily thrill me. I didn't really have any interest in playing the second. And so maybe when it gets a little closer and we see a little bit more of what it's going to actually play like, if it has things that draw me in, I'll give it a try, absolutely.
Clearly, if this is going to be the marquee game of Ubisoft Spring, then there must be something about it that they're pushing really, really hard. But
and it's that grandma.
And it's
pushing
that grandma. Down a flight
of
stairs.
Yeah, I would buy the game for Helen. I would.
Yeah. They closed on Gods and Monsters.
Which looks really cool.
Sure.
Aesthetically,
if we saw gameplay.
I'm just like really into it. Yeah, okay. Zach, we also just can't see gameplay for everything ever.
Yeah, but...
And that point in terms of not showing lots of gameplay for things makes me wonder if that was PlayStation's whole point in not doing it. Is not just putting things out there because this is the time to do it, and putting things out there when there's actually something really concrete to show. And just understanding where they're coming from. Like, I feel like that's, like, right on message with why they didn't do it this year.
Maybe.
This is the catch-22 of E3, is that it's... Everyone judges the conferences against each other. They want massive reveals from everybody. So it pressures studios to announce things way before they really would normally probably announce them. You know what I mean? There is a bit of a double-edged sword to E3.
But Gods and Monsters...
Because you've got companies that are trying to impress people.
This game got a date, and it's February of next year. It's coming out sooner than the goddamn Avengers game, and we see nothing on it. And at least...
That's 8 months, Zach. You could see gameplay in the next 8 months.
But I want to see it now.
Okay.
I think back to that BioWare article, too, just in terms of, like, the crunch they might have to do to get someone to put a gameplay thing ready for E3. Like, I don't want that either. So, like, if this is what they want to show us to highlight it, I'm okay with it, you know?
Yeah.
I'd rather this and not have the people be overworked to just make us be able to see some gameplay at this conference, you know?
Okay.
Because you also have to understand, like... E3 is the easiest way to reach the most fans at once. So, like, a random release of gameplay footage that happened in August or September is maybe not going to get to everybody, especially for a new IP like this. You know what I mean? So I think they're trying to get some sort of attention on the game, even if they don't have gameplay to show. They're like, look at this aesthetic. Here's the general concept.
But this
if
was,
you're interested, maybe now you'll watch out for further footage we release.
This was also
and eight
like,
months is far off. This so, was like, the, I'm on that team, too.
This was the one more thing of the conference, though. Like, they closed on this. It just felt it
well,
felt underwhelming as a like closer.
Okay.
That's
I thought it was a good closer because most I actually am scrolling through and I'm like, oh right, so it opened on Watch Dogs Legion and I was really excited and closed on Gods and Monsters and I thought it looked cool and I didn't care about anything else.
Right, literally everything else is just Tom Clancy and fucking Uplay Plus.
And a dog on stage. I don't even know what game it was for, but there was a dog.
That was for Ghost Recon.
There
it
is.
It was John Bertha Punisher dude.
Bernthal.
That's the dude.
John Berthold.
Who doesn't look right with long hair. I didn't like it. I didn't realize
it
was him.
I haven't seen him before, so I was just kind of like, okay.
Did you not watch like Daredevil or anything?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Oh, Roller Champions looked cool. I'm into that. And there's a pre-alpha demo right now on the PC, and I'm not going to play that anytime soon, but it looks neat. And I look forward to seeing more of that. Rainbow Six, Just Dance. Just Dance is going to the Wii. Tom Clancy, Gachapon.
Wow, yep, that's a thing. Cool. Cool backwards momentum. Right.
Well, no, like people still have their Wiis hooked up.
I mean they do.
If you're
I'm
a Just Dance player, you probably have a Wii still.
Real.
It's a thing. There was like a bunch of this was the weird thing. There was a lot of talk about just like further stuff for their current titles, Rainbow Six Siege is next season,
Division.
For Honor's next event, Assassin's Creed Odyssey's like, I don't even know, like a Mario Maker for Assassin's Creed Odyssey or something.
Yeah, Adventure Time coming to Brawlhalla.
Yeah, which Brawlhalla looks cool, and if it weren't for the fact that Smash Bros. Is just the best game I've ever played, like, I'd probably try it out, but I won't. Oh my god, the fucking Always Sunny in Philadelphia, dude. Hey, I got a TV show for you, and I'm... What? Huh? What was that? Is that anything? Is that
I
E3?
Don't really know.
Is that for the stage? Do we hang out
to
this?
Ubisoft is involved with it, so I think that's why it got said. There.
Also, Apple TV Plus is a thing? I don't want to subscribe to that. I don't want to subscribe to Uplay Plus. I don't want these things. Why are you trying to sell me these things?
Apple TV. Wait.
Yeah, that's where this TV show
is
going.
Is that
it's
like
going to
next,
Apple TV.
Is that like a Netflix, Hulu, Prime, and then there's Apple TV, which is its own thing?
Pretty much.
Oh, God.
Right. Well, it's the same thing. They announced like a Uplay Plus. So they're trying to get that Game Pass money by turning video games into subscriptions. And now eventually, like, Square Enix just today was like, hey, we're going to have a subscription service of our own someday, too. And I'm just like, no, this is exactly what I wanted to avoid.
So many.
They're already cannibalizing the market. Like, stop it. I don't want it. Put it back.
Yeah, I don't need that from everyone. Thank you so much. Bye.
Yeah, that's all I care about for Ubisoft. Do you guys care about anything at all?
No.
No.
I don't care about anything in the entire world.
Great.
I just hate.
All right.
All I do is hate.
It's time for the main course. And that is Square Enix. And by main course, I mean that Final Fantasy VII remake, because holy moly. I don't know about the two of you, but I kept watching more and more of that, like, 16 minutes they spent on the game, and I was just like, yes.
All of it, yes. All of it,
yes.
Just,
yes.
I'm so happy that they were, like... Like when they were showing the like action battling, I was like, this. I mean, it looks super cool.
It's what
I'm
super
down to try it. But I was also like, what if it's somebody who wants like the turn based? And then they were like, there's gonna be customizable. And I was like, oh, you're doing.
Hey,
it.
Did you realize what they showed off? Did you catch what they were showing off? They were showing off that magic word that's at the tip of my tongue. It starts with a G, I think, and ends with an aim play. Oh,
it was gameplay.
That's
cool.
Right.
Cool, Zach.
But isn't
this game's
it the
also
one
been in
you're
development for 30
now?
Years?
Like,
yeah, do you realize those that we've been waiting like 5 years and it took that long to get gameplay? So maybe you don't always get gameplay at the beginning.
Well, hey, we have it now. I think it looks so great. I'm genuinely excited, both as somebody that wants to play this game and somebody that wants to see how the public at large reacts to, one, like a cultural touchstone like Final Fantasy VII being remade for a modern audience, and seeing this work of adaptation expand. Like, the Midgar section is probably maybe the first 6 hours of the game or so, and now they want to turn it into 60. How are they going to stretch that out? What are they going to do with it? How many are they going to introduce some characters early? Because I don't think you leave Midgar with Cloud, Tifa, Barret, Red Aris. 13, and Aris?
Red 13, yeah.
Right. And yeah, we haven't even seen Red 13 yet.
No. Yeah, we haven't.
I was so terrified that we're going to show off
he's
Tifa.
He's really at the end of Midgar. So right. Right. Unless they flesh out the ending, you don't get him for much time.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, too. If like the raid on the Shinra building won't be the end of the game. Because what? That would make the final boss battle the one against Rufus and then the helicopter in the elevator, right?
I don't know. The one thing I'm going to say, I appreciate, like, giving more weight and more depth to Midgar and, like, going really in-depth, but, like, the statements that I've read since then are, like, unclear about how many installments will be. It says it'll probably take just about as long for the next installment to come out. So then I'm, like, much less excited hearing those things. Because I'm like, if you're going to just do a remake of the game, give me the game.
Sure, but I feel
don't just do the first 6 hours.
But if they do enough to make the first 6 hours feel like its own standalone experience, then that's worthwhile.
Right. It's almost like think of it as another game trilogy, essentially.
Exactly. It's the Final Fantasy 13 trilogy of Final Fantasy 7.
Yes, but I guess. Better.
It's the Birth by Sleep of Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, God.
I think,
but Birth by Sleep was one game, Zach.
But three stories.
Yeah, but it's one game.
Yeah, Zach, you kind of just shot yourself in the foot there.
You didn't win the argument at all.
Whatever. I just wanted to talk about Kingdom Hearts, which we can because there's... Well, no, let's finish talking about Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Before we segue, which I could have done, but I didn't because I love this game. I think it's going to be cool. I was so afraid they weren't going to show off Tifa, and I was like, that would be a weird thing to tease. Like, maybe we'll see Tifa later. I'm like, are we going to see Tifa later? Like,
oh,
is she here?
I knew we were seeing
Tifa. Is
she
hanging out with us? Like, can she hang? Can she chill? And
she can super chill.
My God, she can chill. The scene of her and Cloud in the bar drinking together makes me excited for what this game can be, because I feel like there's so many character moments in the original game that are glossed over. You don't really get the sense that Tifa is this working class woman who's kind of working this dead end life, dreams of escape. Like, you don't fully get that in the original game, I think, but just that moment in the trailer of her, I forget what she says in particular, but she just says like, I feel trapped.
And it makes you realize that you do want them to expand out the story of Midgar for super long. I mean, it'll suck to have to wait for the next one, but that's exactly along the lines of, yeah, we do want more of this story. Please,
I think there's going
please
to be enough within this one singular game to tide us over. Because it's like any franchise, you know? Like, we played Mario Odyssey, and we're probably going to wait another 4 more years for another Mario, you know?
I'm not saying that I'm so concerned about it that I'm not buying this game immediately at launch. Like, obviously I'm in.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I just can't help but worry that it's going to be a Hobbit trilogy where it didn't need to be three.
Sure, sure.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that, like, there is a world in which it enhances the game and makes it better by splitting it up and giving it this much more depth, which is the one that I am hopeful that we're on and I feel like we're on.
Yeah.
But there is the back of my mind part of me that fears that it's just like, it's a cash grab. It's to add more things that are superfluous and we don't need in the game. And, like, you know, I can't help but, like, be a little anxious hearing it.
I think the line between adaptation and remake are going to be blurred a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the make it or break it for the public opinion of what this game is going to be. Because as long as it's hitting all the right notes, as long as there is a moment where we see Cloud in a dress, as long as there's a moment where we could accidentally go out on a date with a big burly black man with a gun for an arm, like, then people will be fine, I think. No matter what they add to it.
How progress between the games is going to work. I mean, because there has to be an arc to each game in this instance. Right. So are we going to power reset at the beginning of the next one?
You know, I don't like, think we'll power reset, but we'll probably, like, either our stats will carry. I would bet our stats will carry over. I don't think they're going to do that kind of thing where it's like you start at level 40 or something. And there's been mm-hmm. games in the past, not exactly like Final Fantasy titles, but like the Dot Hack series, you get to transfer your stats over to the next game.
Sure,
like,
sure.
It's not a
I mean,
the
it,
Golden
I guess
Sun
it's
going to
have to be done through the cloud, though, because hypothetically the next one will be on the PS5.
Probably. Probably yes. I mean, and they'll probably just port. I mean,
obviously, we'll see.
Well,
yeah, yeah.
If the PS5 is backwards compatible, then it won't be much of a thing. But like, all the saves are in the cloud anyway. Like, all of, if you have PlayStation Plus, you have cloud saving. So
yeah,
that's a.
But I don't have PlayStation Plus. So,
but like, are we going to get like a Bahamut summon in this game, or Knights of the Round? Or do you think that's going to have to wait until the third game until we get those like, beloved things? Good question. You know?
Is it going to have like proper progression of like you actually feel strong by the end? Because by the end of Midgar, you're not really strong.
Well, and you don't have a lot of the super cool things, right?
Right.
And like, then, I can't... you wouldn't want to just start the next game at like a peaked level, because then you have nowhere to build. So that's interesting. It's going to be something to see what they do with.
You're going
to
be level 250 by the end of this journey.
Dear
God. I'm almost thinking it'll be a bit Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2, where if you play the previous game, you'll get a couple of like bonuses to start off with, but they have to do something to
like,
make it
you
so
have like Barrett? A better chance of getting a date with Barrett if you romanced him in the first one.
Well, I'm saying Aerith dies, then a shadowy company rebuilds her.
Oh my God, Zach, spoilers.
Oh, don't get me started with this conversation. Absolutely not. I'm so sorry. If you were expecting to go into Final Fantasy VII unspoiled, like, the best of luck to you.
That is like, in the top five most known spoilers in the world,
it's
like
it's the fucking
that
Rosebud
Darth Vader
moment
is Luke's
video
father.
Games.
Like, we know these things.
Right. Before we move on, Final Fantasy VIII is also getting remastered.
Finally.
And I'm happy.
Finally.
I'm very happy with that.
I'm so excited.
I think some people were disappointed that it's not getting, like, it's getting, like, kind of a new coat of paint. I was looking at some side-by-side comparisons that I think Digital Foundry put up, and it makes... What they're doing makes the game look more like a PlayStation 2 game. There's a lot more clearer texture. Some of the edges are smoothed out. It looks like it looks more than what we got with like the Final Fantasy VII or the Final Fantasy IX ports. This feels something a little more special, a little more important, and I think that's why they've got the word remastered in the title.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to say about
I'm just excited because like there was definitely a part of me that was like, Is Square just, like, considering 8 the black sheep of the Final Fantasy family? Because it's a great game.
Right.
Just leaving it behind for no
reason.
Apparently, I read that it was apparently that they, like, lost the source
code. Lost a ton of source code, yeah.
Oh, no.
That's happened a couple of times. Crazy. I mean, they lost all the code for the original Kingdom Hearts, too. They had to rebuild that game from scratch when they ported it to HD. I've never played Final Fantasy VIII more than maybe, like, the first three hours.
It. So. It's one of the first Final Fantasies that I like beat on my first try.
Oh,
that
wow.
I was engaged enough to actually go all the way through on my first try.
Yeah, I'm.
Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it.
I'm going to play the poop out of this one. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Kingdom Hearts is getting DLC this winter.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what to do with this.
I don't either.
Kingdom Hearts has never had DLC, and I don't know what it looks like.
It looks like young Xehanort, but with no yellow in his eyes.
I mean, obviously.
It looks like Luxor being an important character for some reason.
And it looks like
getting to play other people, damn it.
Yeah, you get to play as Roxas, who's wielding two Keyblades. And I'm like,
and
yes,
Aqua
please.
And Riku and...
Yeah, Aqua, Riku, Roxas, and...
But probably not Kairi, because she's kidnapped.
Cause she...
Probably not. Jeez. That's all we want from the next Kingdom Hearts game. Just don't let Kairi get kidnapped. Just let her be strong.
Yeah, that was just dumb. What else? Romancing Saga 3 is finally getting ported to the US, which is pretty dang big.
Yeah.
Then there's the game, what's it called, that looks like it could be the Square Enix Diablo. Oninaki.
Diablo. What?
Oninaki.
Oh, Oninaki. Yeah.
I thought that looked fun, and if it is kind of a Square Enix Diablo and it looks like it's quality, I'd mess around with that.
That's some Tokyo RPG Factory, who did I Am Setsuna.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that could be cool. Their games have been, like, interesting but deeply flawed, so we'll see how that one goes. And that one's in August, I think. That one's soon. Outriders.
Outriders exists.
Outriders exists.
It's another shooter. Yeah.
It's another shooter, and they spent so much time on it during the conference and then just didn't show anything about it. It looked like it looked as weird as Gears of War did. And People Can Fly is a great studio. I think that they put out I loved Bulletstorm. But I don't know. That part of the conference made me so sleepy.
I'm just not a big shooter player, so it has to have a really interesting RPG hook for me to really get into a shooter, to be honest.
That's the thing, is I was definitely like, it looks cool aesthetically. it's not the type of game I usually go for. You didn't show me anything that would sell me on a different type of game.
Exactly.
You
know?
Yeah, but if Square gives me some cool things about it, then maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, closed off to it.
Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles will be remastered in the winter. Yeah. That's
I'll
pretty
probably
cool.
play that
coming
again.
To
I like
mobile.
That game.
I was not expecting mobile.
Yeah, mobile. Seriously.
That kind of makes sense considering its basis as being like a game that you play with a Game Boy screen. Like it was a second screen experience. So I think that's actually like a great way for them to play it. Yeah, I'm excited. I love that game and I would love to actually be able to play it with people instead of by myself. Like
yeah,
I did.
I mean, I'd definitely love to play that game with you guys. That would be a lot of fun.
That would be really, really fun to maybe do on the show. Last Remnants remastering got released on the Switch. But you
the
picked
boy
up,
is
didn't
already
you?
Fucking with it.
Yeah.
That was
I'll
literally
probably pick
so
it up on my Switch.
When they did the Last Remnant remastered and released it for PS4, I was already excited. Like I played this game when it first came out in 2009 in the very flawed Xbox version of its release.
Yeah.
And then I got it on PC and they had fixed some of the like balancing of difficulty and things like that. Like the difficulty spike, you could potentially put yourself in an unwinnable situation in the early game. And they sort of fixed that on PC. From what I understand, they've carried that over as well as like smoothing out the texture pops of the game. Everything looks better. The brightness is actually like a thing that like you can see the environments way better than you ever could before. So like. All of, like the interesting battle system is always what drew me to this game because it's a little hard to figure out and the game definitely doesn't hold your hand through the battle system of The Last Remnant, but I think it has a lot of depth to it. Okay. Some people kind of think of it as like because you can't give your like characters individual actions that it's like you don't have enough control and it's a bad battle system, which I get it. Some people are not into that. I think it's just a different way of thinking strategically about the battles, so I find it really entertaining.
Yeah, I'm all about that. I actually didn't play it originally.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to giving it a shot because I think that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
It sounds different.
So I've been a fan of this for like 10 years, and to see it actually get a remaster, I never thought it would because it flopped pretty hard on release. And so to see it get a remaster and now be playing it on my Switch a little too many hours over the past 3 days is wonderful for me.
I love that. I bought the PS4 version when it came out, and I haven't touched it yet, so... I will.
Oh, I'm all up in it. I'm all up inside this game.
There's just get on my so Switch. Many games. And that's then, what I thought when they were doing that Square Enix Collective reel, and they were showing off some World War II shooter, and I was just like, who has the time? Who has
seriously,
the patience?
Yeah.
Who
that's
has the ability?
There's just so many games now.
This is nothing. I've already forgotten about it. The last thing they showed off was
Avengers.
The reveal of the Avengers.
Avengers.
It looks... off is the word I would
I think
use
it's
for.
Gonna be I think it's gonna be fine.
I don't think it looks that so here's the thing.
Okay,
they're coming in with the difficulty of an MCU that has been centered around Avengers films, and we've been watching these characters for years, and they're making their own versions of them.
Yeah,
so
I think that they have
hard.
to do what they want to do. They can't use the movie versions. They need
no,
their own.
I don't think they should either, but that means that they're coming up against us expecting them to look a certain way and them going a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I don't disagree with that, but I hate Captain America's design. End of sentence. I think not only does his face look boring, but his costume looks like a generic military dude with a star on his chest. Like, you've got Captain America, bright, colorful, chain link armor. Like, just do something interesting with it. And instead, they just made him like a boring looking army man.
I have a feeling there'll be skins in this game.
Sure, but that doesn't belittle my point. I think he looks boring. I think all the characters kind of look boring.
I guess the other thing that got me about that is I was like, if you're gonna, so they, for, I mean, they can we talk about the voice cast? All star,
sure,
all star voice cast.
It's very good.
I was like, really cool. But the who was the one voicing Captain America?
Oh, I don't remember. That's the one dude I didn't recognize.
The one dude I don't know. But he's attractive. Why don't you model it after him?
Sure, even do that.
I would have been here for that.
I don't know. It's just, it looks like, I understand they want to do their own thing, but you can't ignore the fact that they do kind of just look like a bunch of stunt doubles for the MCU actors.
I would say that about Captain America and arguably possibly... like Black Widow. But
oh yeah,
I would strongly like Iron Man. Clearly went its own direction. Tony Stark is very different.
It
that's not a Robert Downey Jr.
It doesn't even
double.
Like look like
that's a lumberjack Brooklyn hipster daddy.
Yeah, and I hate it.
Okay,
I really don't mind it. I really don't mind their designs at all. I think they're fine. They're just
I'm
going for a more realistic looking approach.
Yeah, I'm not going to be reactive to it from an initial trailer. You know what I mean? It's the kind of thing where, like, if I get immersed in the game... Because here's the thing that I will say. The one scene that they showed, like, the full dialogue from between Bruce and Tony...
Yeah.
...was
yeah.
so well acted. Oh, yeah. God. And I was just like, all right, if you're going to tell story on this level, I'm willing to, like, give this a shot.
Yeah.
I'm still definitely don't know what the actual structure of the game is going to be.
That's
like
the
there's
problem.
Still a lot of unknown ground, but that's okay. There's time to figure that out. But I think that they're going to release us with this base set of characters with some kind of story that will have missions that'll be replayable later on, and they'll keep releasing new missions and new characters as time goes on.
Maybe, but I just
I mean, that's kind of what they said.
I can't help but feel like no, that is what they said, but I can't help but feel like they just bungled this. I feel like I have more questions about what this game's supposed to be than I did before their conference.
Sure. I get your concern, Zach, but like this one, even more so than what we were talking about before, if they had not shown Avengers stuff, there would have been outrage.
Yeah.
Sure, but they didn't.
And I don't want the devs to have to throw together a gameplay thing and be super stressed just because E3 is coming
up. But they did.
Up,
they
so
did
I don't...
put together a gameplay thing. It's being shown behind closed doors on the floor of the show, and they can't show anything to the public. And all of the previews I've been reading this week, they all say something's really off about this game. We still don't know what it is. And that's
But they've still got another year, yeah?
They've got, yeah, but the last year of development is just bug fixing. They've already got the core of the game down. If they want to change the core of the game, they got to delay it. So I don't know what kind of game they built here, and what they've shown me, it doesn't look that impressive compared to, say, the Arkham games or the last year's Spider-Man. You know, they revealed Spider-Man last year with an entire gameplay demo a couple of times. It was on the E3, it was in Sony's show twice. We knew what Spider-Man was going to be, but we don't quite know. We don't know how the structure of this game is going to go. We don't know how the Avengers are going to interact with each other. We don't know if the story is going to be cooperative or if it's a solo experience. We don't know what these extra missions or extra characters are going to tie into everything. Like, is there just going to be a special multiplayer mode or anything? There's just this. I feel like they bungled how they presented this game to the world because they spent a lot of time on it, but they didn't show anything that says this is the Avengers. They just showed like a generic action adventure game with a Marvel coat of paint on it. That's how I feel about it.
But like, if it's an action adventure game where you get to play as all these superheroes and use their abilities in the ways in which they would, like, I'm on board for that.
Yeah, I'm not quite as in on the they just showed a generic with a coat of paint. Like, I saying that about Fallen Order, I could agree with what they showed at E3 was kind of like generic with a coat of paint. Blah, blah, blah. We're hearing about other stuff behind the scenes. I'm not saying that this was a perfect presentation. I'm also saying that there is another year for them to tell us things. And I, like, there's a large bone in my body that's just like, the gaming community, that's a
That's
sentence.
The femur.
there's one large bone in my body. The rest of them are small.
Yeah.
but, like, the gaming community as a whole needs to learn patience.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting tired of outrage at everything because I'm seeing a lot of outrage at everything.
I'm not.
And with this too, I think we're going to see a good chunk of this too of whatever PlayStation decides to show next, because they did announce that they'll have some exclusives with PlayStation. So that makes me think that they'll do another kind of info drop at whatever their next conference is.
Sure. I agree. But as far as reveals go, there's been significantly... Final Fantasy VII's gameplay got a significantly better reveal than this. We are still talking about it. We're still gushing about it. The Avengers reveal didn't show us any gameplay. Didn't show... I don't know. It didn't show enough to say this is our own story too. Because a lot of the... I don't want to dwell on this much longer, but like all of the set pieces that were showing us, it felt like an MCU film. The helicarrier looks like the one in the movies. I can't shake the fact that this just doesn't feel right. This game doesn't feel right to me. And
that might be my position
as like a huge Marvel fanboy and somebody that's been very invested in those characters my entire life. But, you know, I've seen Batman and he's amazing. I've seen Spidey and he's amazing. But I see this game and something doesn't add up to me. And that's where I sit on it right now.
I mean, that's fair. I think I'm less emotionally invested in this game overall than you are. Just like I've been like, boy, hope Square Enix shows us something soon, but like I haven't been just like boy, my life is hinging on seeing the Avengers game.
Sure. I think that might be the difference. Because for me, like, this was what I was, you know, after the Final Fantasy stuff, like, this is what I was waiting for. This is the big thing I wanted to see coming out of the E3. And I can't help but feel disappointed by it. So,
I just don't have enough to judge yet. I just am hopeful for what they're going for. And if they do make the game that they say they're making, I'll be on board. Because that's what I want to do.
I want to play
as an Avenger with my friends and get to have more Avengers as time goes on. Because that's what the cinematic universe did.
Sure. That might be what it is. So we will see what happens. But it
has to start somewhere, you know?
As far as I'm concerned, bad start. But it might get better. And speaking of better, Nintendo knocked it out of the park, baby.
Oh, man.
Let's save those two last things for last and just talk about everything else first of all. I want to talk about Animal Crossing because I'm jazzed about it. Animal Crossing has been one of those franchises. It's just like Pokemon. It's one of those franchises where I try very, very hard every single time to like get into Animal Crossing. I want to play this game, but I always find myself forlorn by it. Like, I don't get it. And I'm really hoping that New Horizons is going to break that curse for me, because I really want to be into this franchise. I want to feel the excitement that everyone feels for, you know, you look online, you look at Twitter, and every single time Nintendo comes up with anything, it's like,
so
by the way, where's Animal Crossing? Better have that Animal Crossing news or we riot. Like, that's what I want to feel towards this franchise. And I think this is very doable for that.
And I think that the approach of the island is interesting and different enough from the previous series
so
to give it
right.
something new.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's great. I love it.
Yeah. I'm really excited about it. I love the color palette to it. I love that tongue-in-cheek ending of like Tom Nook being like, and here's your bill, baby. Capitalism is
great.
The best.
And this is the story too of why I'm so happy with Nintendo, is because they delayed their game because it was needed more time to be ready and they didn't want to kill their developers. So like, good job, Nintendo. You did the thing that I think studios should start doing more, is let their games come out when they're ready, even if it means having to push them back a little bit.
I completely agree with you there.
Yeah, and sorry, if you are one of the gamers that is outraged because Nintendo is willing to delay games to give its developers mental health, you're terrible.
Oh,
bye.
Yeah, terrible.
It's just the wrong side of history on this one, sorry.
They didn't talk about Sword and Shield, but I wanted to talk to you about this, Andrew, because I think they announced that they're not going to use the national decks in Sword and Shield.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care
either,
right?
I don't care.
There's
like
so many now.
900-something Pokemon at this point.
Right.
The internet is like up in arms about this. People are literally starting petitions to like not buy Sword and Shield until they give us the national decks and let us try.
Which
get over
is
it.
Nonsense.
Use
I think.
New Pokemon.
This looks
just like play the game.
This is
yeah,
the most
use the new ones put out there. You know, they're new for a reason. Try them out.
Right.
And like, you know, at a point, they're going to have so many Pokemon that like the size of a game that can contain all of them is going to be too massive to fit on a thing.
And I think it's just,
you know,
too much. Like I would love to like be a collector for Pokemon, but if you're going to throw me at a game that I need to catch 900 different species, it's not feasible. It's not interesting and it's not worth it.
Yeah, I think it is a smaller subsection of the Pokemon fan base that are actually interested in catching every single one for the national decks in every game ever.
Right.
So, like, they need to understand that they are not the only people who play the game. And then number two, maybe they're trying to, like, get you to look at some other stuff in the game. Like, the reason that I play so many Nuzlockes and things like that is because it ends up making me use Pokemon that I hadn't used before.
Right.
Absolutely.
And it makes it that much more interesting because I'm then having to relearn how to play it, like instead of just playing the same game over and over in a different world. So,
and you're
like,
finding
I'm not
what
saying
makes
that
each...
you wanting to use your favorites is terrible. Like, absolutely. Have your favorites, hold on to them, et cetera, et cetera. But like, don't write off a game just because like yours isn't in there.
And you get to find out, like, what makes each of them unique, too, which I think is, like, so important. Like, they put all this work into making them all kind of different in their own way, and then you just kind of catch them and put them in your box and stick with your strong ones or the ones that you love. And, like, no,
right.
like, it, just explore it.
I can't tell
you
how many times, like, there are, like, Pokemon that tend to be, like, the rejects. You know, the Ring of Keys was, like, highly made fun of for being a Ring of Keys. I use those because I want to give them love, and I end up having fun and, like, learning to love them in a way that nobody else ever will, and then it feels special for me.
Yeah.
So see, you can find something great in these games. Like, the Pokemon world is very well done. Just get over it. That's all I have.
And this is probably going to be like the same conversation we'll have in 4 years when the next Smash Bros. Come along. And obviously, yeah, like, you know, once the Fighters Pass is done, there's going to be over 80 playable characters in Smash Bros.
Yeah, that's not, it's going to be feasible. Massive.
They're not going to be able to do Everyone Is Here Again. Like,
especially with like this many sword fighters. Honestly, trim the fat on the sword fighters.
Right. Like, it's just not possible. And I think calling down the decks is going to be good. I think it's completely fine,
and I'm completely willing to, like, go with what they're going to give me.
Me too.
Can we talk about the new Corgi Pokemon that was revealed during the treehouse?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen it either. There's a Corgi. When I first saw, because, oh my god, I love Corgis. This is just a fact. Yeah, look at his precious little face.
Look at that little Wubba Scoopa.
The first angle that I got on it was like a face forward one, and I actually wasn't entirely sold on the design, but then I got some of the side profile stuff, and I liked it more. And then I started reading things. First of all, he's an electric corgi.
I love him.
And he herds Wooloos with electricity.
I'm not sure if this is confirmed,
but I've heard a rumor that his ability is if you throw a Pokeball at a wild Pokemon and it fails to catch it, he gets it back for you. He literally plays fetch. He plays fetch.
That's the best. Oh my gosh.
Shaped butt.
Yeah, he's got a heart on his butt. He's so cute.
I love him.
I'm very happy with this one.
I'm going to love him forever. Oh, he wants like a Bellywub. Oh, you love him. Nintendo 1E3. Link's Awakening got dated. It's coming on the 20th. It looks so good. Yeah, I love it.
And speaking as somebody who's very familiar with the Game Boy version, like, it is a brand new art style on it, but done in perfect homage to what the original game was.
Easily.
Like, I, as a person who this was one of my first games ever in life, am so happy with what I've seen so far.
Yeah. Oh, I think the art style is so cute.
And it's so good.
They showed off, like, a build-your-own dungeon feature, too. That looks great. Is it, like, you just get rooms while you're playing through the game, and then you can just kind of drop and swap them whenever possible?
I'm not sure, like a place you'll go to that you drop and swap them, and if you like finish a dungeon, like maybe you'll have like a challenge rating and you get things depending on what the challenge rating of the dungeon you had built is. That would be my guess.
That'd be cool. I do think you get rewards. It looks like it's in the same spot as the Color Dungeon, which was an extra dungeon that was added in the DX, the Game Boy Color version of Link's Awakening.
No, because they showed the Color Dungeon in the trailer.
But it looks like it's in a similar, like, did they show the Color Dungeon?
Yeah, it's in the game.
Oh, then maybe that's what I saw.
It could be in a similar place.
Okay,
similar thing.
Whatever. Cool. Well, it's a thing. There's the Color Dungeon's cool, too. Right.
And while we're on Zelda, Cadence of Hyrule dropped today, I think, which is awesome. I loved Cryptid and Necrodancer, so I'll probably check that out sometime.
Oh, yeah, that looked fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, should we just stay on Zelda all the way, or are we doing that?
No, let's save that for last.
That feels like a big thing.
That's the show-ending discussion.
And it's the new most popular GIF out there for video games.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Luigi's Mansion 3 is
happening. It's so fun!
It looks really fun, yeah. I'm always up for some Luigi's Mansion. I didn't like Dark Moon that much, but I love the original. So this looks like a good evolution of that.
I think the little adds to it will be interesting with Gooigi and the new vacuum strikes and the plunger. I think it's got some promise.
Yeah. Dude, Witcher 3 going to Switch. That's amazing.
That's crazy.
That's so impressive.
I can't believe the Switch can handle that.
Yeah.
Witcher 3 is so big.
Yeah. That's just cool.
Can we talk about the Dark Crystal Tactics game?
That was weird. That was interesting.
Dark Crystal is having a renaissance right now.
I mean, yeah, like,
it's like between Keanu Reeves and Dark Crystal, we're bringing it all back.
Yeah. There's like some sort of, what was it called? Empire of Sin is happening.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't recall that one.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Panzer Dragoon is getting a remake, which is neat. New Contra, Resident Evil ports, Dragon Quest port, blurpty derpty derp.
Yeah, there was too much Dragon Quest music in the Nintendo Direct for my taste.
Dragon Quest. I forget.
Hello?
Sorry, I was trying to remember something.
There was No More Heroes 3.
No More Hero. Oh, that's what I was thinking of. That's cool. That's a franchise I need to play. I've never been into it, but everyone I know reacted very positively to that.
Smash. We got a little bit more for Fire Emblem, which just, I'm so ready for it to be here.
I'm very ready for it. I watched a little bit of the Treehouse stream for Fire Emblem because that's kind of my most anticipated game in this moment of time. Yeah. And like,
it's close.
That game's going to be a lot. Because apparently, like, you spend the first half of the game recruiting students for your house. And then the second half of the game, skip, like, any of the students you didn't recruit are in enemy armies and you got to kill them.
They like to do that to you lately.
That's so fun. I like that.
Just tear at the heartstrings. Let's talk about those Smash characters.
So it's so funny because they started with the Dragon Quest hero.
Which we knew was going to happen. Like, we saw the data mines and everything, so we knew Dragon Quest was going to happen, but I was just kind of like... And I think...
Yeah, the disappointment texts that we were getting from Zach during that were just like...
Because we know what I wanted.
It wasn't like a shock. It was just like, we know what Zach wants. And he was just like, here we are.
But where was placed in the conference, I still hadn't given up that they were going to do a second one. Like,
I didn't think it was likely.
I didn't think they were either. I was actually surprised.
I think the Dragon Quest stuff looks great. I love the fact that it's more than one game being represented by the characters.
Yeah, like, that was awesome.
When we saw the Luminary, I was like, oh, I thought we were going to see like an older one. And then we actually did. So,
and then we got basically all of
it. It's just further proof that all of these DLC characters are getting the time and effort put into them to make sure their franchises are extremely well represented. And that's great.
I love that about
it. And it's representing the moves and the feel and all of that stuff. I'll be interested to see because it looked like you could change what your abilities were for him.
I saw that
like,
too.
You could change what and stuff. Like, I don't know how that'll work, but that's interesting. It's new feature.
Yeah. I wonder if it has to do with the like customizable, you know, specials and things like that. But yeah, it was definitely, because there were definitely more than like four spells shown.
Right.
Yeah. I wonder if almost it's going to be like his B down is to change spells or something like that, you know?
Change set. Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah, like you could change your B up from like an up slash to zoom, and your B over could be crackle, or it could be a flame slash, you know?
Yeah, because the other characters aren't Echo Fighters. They're all alternate costumes.
They're skins.
Right.
They're skins, yeah. So yeah, that could be interesting. The stage is... The world tree from 11, right?
Which I'm not mad at because it's pretty.
It's pretty.
Yeah, it is pretty. It's a fun stage.
I'd be interested to see what like Smash-like remixes of Dragon Quest music is. It's just, I understand that for Japan, like this is a watershed moment. I looked at the view counts for the Japanese trailer side by side in YouTube, and Dragon Quest has like 2 million while Banjo just has like the 3/4 of a million, I think, at this point. Like there's a huge disparity there in Japan. So this is a big thing for them. And I'm happy for them.
Yeah, good.
And I think it's going to be a cool character, and I'm happy for Kevin because he loves Dragon Quest. So
yeah, I'm very happy for Dragon Quest fans that this was done so thoroughly.
Yeah, it looks like it'll be done a lot better than Final Fantasy was in Smash.
With the Dragon Quest port, too, like, didn't it also show that there was going to be like an 8-bit mode where you could play it in more of the old school style?
Yeah, you could play the
whole
game in an old school style.
I personally wouldn't do that, but it's cool for people that want that.
I'm kind of pissed off about that definitive edition for Dragon Quest XI, simply because like that game's not even a year old in the West. And the fact that it's not, you know, like if it were being released as DLC for the PS4, if I had to pay $20 to get that kind of stuff, I'd probably dive back into the game because I don't have to listen to those goddamn MIDI tracks anymore. But the fact that this is a full... like definitive edition of a game being released on a different console than the version of the game I already have less than a year after I played the game. That's really annoying. And I hate that.
We know that they're not going to do that with PlayStation.
It's only coming to the Switch as far as we know.
As far as we know so far.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe it will.
Sure.
If it was a different series, I would maybe say something, but because Dragon Quest is so massive in Japan and the Switch is Nintendo's system, I feel like I give it a little extra leeway for that. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
And how long was it out in Japan before it was out here, too?
Oh, I don't know.
Seven years. Just kidding.
Not for that long, but I think it was a hot second.
It was definitely several months.
Yeah.
The other character, though...
Zach, you're so unhappy
Duck
about
Hunt.
This, aren't you?
I'm furious. Can't
they're
you
just
tell?
Showing, it's
they
just,
got
they're making,
you, man.
They're making the Dalmatian skin from Duck Hunt Dog
his own character.
They got you, man. They got you good.
So if you listen to the show, like you know that I have such a huge love for Banjo-Kazooie, and just seeing, oh my god, I'm getting emotional just thinking about it now. Seeing those characters on this kind of reveal, just that entire trailer in and of itself, giving Banjo and Kazooie their homecoming moment to Nintendo and to Smash, and having kind of a sequel trailer to the K. Rool trailer, which already made me weepy. I was crying for about a good 15 minutes after the Banjo trailer aired. I could barely pay attention to what came after it because I was just so overcome by seeing my second favorite game of all time being represented in this kind of form.
And it was also one of the best reveal trailers for anything ever.
It was so funny and spot on. It was so good. It was like, first of all, they got the dynamic of Donkey and Diddy and K. Rool so great.
Oh, it's
and
so then, fun.
And then they openly trolled. Like, it was amazing. It was done so well.
It was a beat for beat reshoot of K. Rool's trailer.
Yeah.
Just that Jiggy bounces across.
Yeah. And it was fun, too, because, like, there was even the fake out at first because they do all the shots of like all the rivals facing off with each other, and the last one's DK and K. Rool. So my first thought was we were going to get another villain character, and it was going to be just like a huge, like high caliber villain. And my first thought was, are we getting Sephiroth this DLC? Is this what's happening? That was my first thought. And then we see DK's mouth again, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is a weird way to introduce Sephiroth if he's facing off with Donkey Kong.
Uh-huh.
But once the Jiggy...
You know, that long, years-long rivalry.
Right. DK and Sephiroth. But the second the Jiggy went past, yeah, I started screaming at the top of my lungs. I've been at home the last week spending time with my parents, and my mom immediately ran up to the room and went, what's wrong? And I was like, it's them! Yeah. And then, like, they press themselves up against the glass. Duck Hunt does his fun little dance. And the second you see the characters again, the second the music goes up, like that welled an amount of emotion and joy and happiness in me that I don't think almost anything has made me feel in a very long time.
Seeing that Baron Bird in new animations,
they look so good. They look amazing. So good.
It's almost like they should make another game for them.
Yeah, almost. You would think that. But I don't think, I think
it's so funny. Like when I saw this reveal, I was on the train home and driving through the middle of America on a train, service was spotty. And
yeah.
Of course the stream kept cutting out in the middle of every trailer I wanted to see. So I was like sort of half in and half out because I wasn't actually like getting full versions of a lot of these things. But I saw this happening and I was like, kind of like confused. And then I was like, wait, that's Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
Wait. And then the first thing I thought, I'm super happy about it because, like, I love him as a character and I was excited that he was coming into Smash. And I think it's a great, like, I think they're a great new character that'll be a different way to play. But my very first thing was, oh my God, I'm so happy for Zach.
I don't think Smash will ever be able to top this. For me personally, I don't think there's another...
Yeah, I was going to say, for me, I think they could, but for you, yeah.
Sure. I mean, like, for both Kevin and myself, like, two of our favorite games of all time are being represented in Smash. For me, yeah. Like, there's literally... I can't think of another... At least a franchise. There are, like, characters that I'd be excited about. Or Nintendo franchises that you get another rep or something. But for just... this level of reaction, for this level of pure joy and emotion that I felt, I've been watching reaction videos all week, which I usually don't do, but just like being able to share that kind of joy. Like if you guys haven't seen it yet, somebody just posted a clip of the people at the Nintendo New York store in Rockefeller Center. The way people just went off was beautiful.
Oh, I love it.
I love that passion. I love that love. And I'm so thrilled that one of my favorite games of all time is getting immortalized in Smash in this fashion. The Spyro Mountain remix sounds amazing. They actually got Grant Kirkhope to do that remix.
Yeah, that's the best part of it.
Cool. Yeah, nice. that was really, really... Yeah, they actually... he did an interview where he... Apparently what happened was somebody at Nintendo contacted Ubisoft Milan, who did Rabbids, because Grant did the music for that, and they were like, hey, do you have Grant Kirkhope's contact information? And they said, yeah, we'll pass it along. Then Nintendo contacts Grant. They say, hey, we'd like you to work with us on a project, but they didn't tell him what it was yet, so Grant's sitting there being like, why does Nintendo want me? They can't be for Smash, because they get all their own guys to do the music in Smash, but like, what if it's Smash? What if Banjo and Kazooie are coming to Smash? And evidently, that's what it was. So,
And then it was.
And that arrangement is just so fun. The stage looks amazing. You get to see Bottles and Gruntilda. Like, it's just, it's a lot for me. it's I can't wait for the fall. I genuinely, this was, if even like, even if we didn't get Final Fantasy news, even if we didn't get this Zelda reveal that we're about to talk about, even if we got nothing else, this E3 is going to be memorable for me because it was the first time in 10 years I can talk about Banjo-Kazooie in a modern context.
Have a relevance in a modern context.
Yeah. And I really hope that their inclusion in Smash brings about a renaissance for the characters. I think
Smash has been able to do that.
They've been able to do that. And I think that I read an interview with some of the original creators after the reveal that were like, we still don't think there's really going to be a market for a new Banjo game. And I would just love to prove them wrong. I really, really would.
It would be so nice.
Zach, before this conference, what was your percent in your brain you thought you would get Banjo and Smash? Because I had thought it would be great, but I didn't think it was going to actually happen.
I thought it was going to be great too, but there was that huge fear that like I knew that there was going to be some sort of Microsoft rep, but for some reason I kept thinking it's probably going to be Minecraft. It's, you know, like it's a Microsoft property. It's a huge property. People will recognize it. It's relevant. It's popular. Banjo is what the hardcore fans would want, but if you want to make the game more appealing, if you want to sell that pass, well, Persona's not going to do it, and Dragon Quest isn't going to do it, so what's going to do it? It's going to be Minecraft. And it just, it makes me more excited for what these last two character reveals are going to be, because it's like, yeah. I got my guy. And so we've got niche JRPG franchise, niche JRPG franchise outside of Japan, and niche classic 90s platformer. So what the hell else can we go from there?
Yeah, they've put the bounds out pretty far for what they can do.
Yeah, I mean, they did that with Persona, but now they've really done that with Banjo. So
I think it would be really cool to get a Sephiroth. We don't need more sword fighters, but that would be pretty dope.
My first instinct was 2B from Nier Automata, but that would be another story.
That was my,
wouldn't be
Banjo,
mad.
You took that right out of my mouth. I was like, yes, 2B, please, put Nier in Smash. That would, okay, I'm
see,
wrong.
See, but the 2B
would,
doesn't
would
have to be a sword
berserk.
Person, though. Huh? You could use the fist with 2B. You know, she has other weapons.
She has a ton of options. She could have multiple movesets. Like, it's 2B.
So here's the thing.
I want it so bad.
You guys each got your series, and I'm so sad because mine can't happen because it's an assist trophy. I just want my Isaac.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah. Golden Sun.
Yep. Yep.
And it's with Waluigi, too, that he's already an assist trophy.
Yeah, it sucks.
It does suck.
Nintendo.
There's what if they did though? What
I'm
if
not
they...
mad at them. They've done so many good things for me.
What if they took the assist trophy out and added Waluigi?
That's the popular rumor. Like, I feel like the fifth character is just going to be Waluigi.
I feel like the last one, with how much they're listening, it's like, maybe they'll actually do it. We'll finally get there.
It'd be pretty damn impressive if they just put Waluigi in Smash.
I'd love it. It would be hilarious, and I would love it.
One more thing to think about before we wrap things up, and that is the big reveal that they had at the end, that a sequel to
Breath... I actually have one more before we get to this, because I know you want to end on this.
Oh, yeah.
But I just wanted to state, Astral Chain looks really cool.
Oh, my God. I forgot all about it. Yeah.
They showed so little at this, though, I felt like.
I know. It wasn't a lot, but it still looks really cool.
Oh, super jazzed.
Yeah. I'm very optimistic about that title, and I can't wait to play
it. Platinum, man. Makes some good games.
Platinum makes good games. Breath of the Wild. Getting a sequel.
Man, and it looks so interesting and creepy.
Really, really gosh. We'll talk a lot more about Breath of the Wild next week when we continue talking about our time with the game, but they managed to put so many just like hints and winks and nods at what might be happening in this trailer that it's been really fun to like break it down and dissect it. One of the most popular theories I'm reading is that apparently like Ganondorf was supposed to be the original hero of time, and then he fell in battle and then got possessed by like Calamity Ganon. One rumor that I've read online. Another one says that like Link's probably going to be taken prisoner and Zelda's going to be the main character because of her haircut.
Oh, that would be awesome. I would love that.
Yeah, I think that would be so cool to have Zelda take finally like the fucking main character slot.
Yeah.
In something other than a spinoff. I played a little bit of Hyrule Warriors over the last week for the first time in a very long time, and she's just a remarkable character and I love her.
Need her as like the like main I just like just to play Zelda in a like Legend of Zelda main series title would be like super dope.
I think
it'd
it would be
super cool, and her magic would play so much different from anything else we've done really in these games.
Yeah. I would love it personally.
Another thing I've been reading is people being like, "Oh, are we going to get Re-Dead back from Ocarina of Time? Those terrifying zombie mummy guys." Those things scared me so much when I was younger,
so
and I would
scary,
still be terrified now.
Yeah.
They were in Wind Waker too, but a little cuter.
That's right. They were cuter in Wind Waker. But the ones from Ocarina, them was scary.
They were very bad. They haunted my nightmares.
They were scarier than the temple guards in Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah.
The other The other big thought is that the Twilight Realm is going to play heavily into it. Mm. Because the Twilight Mirror is in Breath of the Wild. It's something you can find in the game. And
interesting. I did not find it.
All that green in there. All those whirly wisps.
Yeah, they're certainly present.
They're very there.
I am excited for it, though.
I'm whatever it was, I was not expecting it, and I am so excited that it's happening.
I'm interested to see what the twist will be. Like, I'm sure it'll be open world still with Breath of the Wild, but with all this new atmospheric stuff, like, I just feel like it has to handle differently, you know?
Oh, I think
like,
so.
Like, the expanse, it's harder to be that kind of scary in a big expanse, you know? So I think it does need to change some kind of core tenets to keep that creepiness to it, you know?
Well, the main inspiration people were asking about was like Majora's Mask, because this is the first big like direct sequel game we've gotten since Majora's Mask, and I think Inuma said that the game is going to be darker than Majora's Mask, which sounds terrifying.
Yeah, and it looks like it is going to be. Like, I would buy it based off of the art style that we saw.
Look, I'm here for it.
I'm ready for it. Like, put it directly super in my veins. Give me some of that short hair Zelda. Give me some of that dehydrated Ganondorf. Let's have some fun.
Dryden
Gorf. I just need Ganondorf. Less water, please.
Yeah. Give that boy some water. yeah, I don't have much else to say about it. I'm loving Breath of the Wild. I'm still playing it, and I'm going to be happy to play more of it when I beat it. Because how long do you think it's going to be before this game comes out? What's your bet right now?
I'm honestly going to go holiday 2020.
That's what I was going to say, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Next year?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I would say it'll be holiday 2021 or maybe spring 2021. I think
it's going to be 2021, I would expect spring. I don't think it's going to be like over 2 years from now.
Nintendo's holiday next year will be Bayonetta and Metroid. That is my bet.
Interesting.
Maybe, I don't know, I could see it being there, though.
I could see it being there, too.
As a sequel, like, they don't have to build as many assets. Like, they still have to do a lot of new things, but, you know, they have a lot of the core, you know, so it's not fully new.
That's possible. I could agree with you there. I would be surprised to see it next year. I don't think it's going to be a game we'll see next year. I think it'll be at least 2 years. That's the hill I'm dying on. Baby.
Yeah, you know, and it might be 2 years because we didn't even get like a subtitle for it. Like, we didn't see like if it's going to be called Breath of the Wild
it's
2
true.
Or
we
Breath
did
of the Wild.
A sequel to The Legend of Breath of the Wild is in development.
The Legend of Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks cool. I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah.
So, this is the question I kind of want to end things on. Do you guys still think E3 is important and relevant today?
So, it is great that we got to see all these snippets of new things, but I'm also not opposed to the idea of showing things when they're ready, and there just might need to be a more fluid system for doing so. Because, like, the original point of E3, it was made in a time when the internet just couldn't get you all the information you wanted all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's necessary anymore, but it's still fun.
I agree.
It's kind good
of where
if
I
it's
feel
fun.
Too.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would want to see it abolished. Like, just because it's not, you know what I mean? I don't want to do away with it. I think there's something fun about it. But it kind of goes back to, like, what I was talking about with there's a certain amount of expectation around E3 now. And then the problem becomes, like, each year, it's like each company has to try to top itself. And I worry that at some point it tops out and you can't go anywhere else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I can feel that. For me personally, like, I still love E3. Like, just the idea of it, I think you're right, Kev. I think a lot of games that were supposed to be shown off here just weren't ready. And I feel like we've gotten to a point now where gaming news is happening, like, all of the time anyway. And if Sony does something later in the year, I mean, even, like, their PlayStation experiences, the last PlayStation experience they had was, like, huge. And I think that's where they revealed The Last of Us 2 for the first time. Mm-hmm. So if they're going to do their own thing like 2-3 months from now, that's kind of a strike against E3 if they're ready to just like have a blowout conference when they're ready to do it, not necessarily in June. Even the Nintendo Direct is just like this great innovation where five times a year we're getting a huge blast of Nintendo news with one huge thing to get really, really excited about.
I also think it's smart, too, just because they have less competition. Their messages will land more because it's not amongst a sea of so many other things.
Right.
You know, if they time it out in
they get
their
to
own
control
time.
The news cycle for a week.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's true.
Because, like, right now, the things we talked about the most tonight were Square Enix and Nintendo. And that doesn't bode great for Microsoft, who had a lot of things that I'm interested in, but I... Like we said at the top of the show, I forgot a lot of Microsoft stuff just because Nintendo had a really good show.
And Square showed something that we've all wanted for 20 years.
A long time.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. We'll see where E3 sits next year. And maybe Sony will be back. Maybe not. We'll see. It'll be like Marvel and Hall H.
Yeah, I just like them to decide based off if they have things that they actually want to and are ready to show, you know?
Well, Sony is interesting right now because it sounds like they're sending the PS4 out with a huge bang. I mean, you got Death Stranding this year, which, like, holy crap, couldn't believe that. But the popular rumor is Ghosts of Tsushima and Last of Us Part 2 are both going to be spring and summer 2020 games. And then we haven't even seen a gosh dang thing that they're going to launch the PS5 with.
Yeah.
And if that happens, then, like, wow. Way to send the PS4 out in style.
All of the things that we thought were going to be next gen. Nope, we're getting them in this one.
I could see Last of Us being like dual gen. It'll Breath of the Wild this.
I think we'll get a fair amount of dual gens next year and the year following.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think with the way that they're announcing things and you just sort of have to do some cross-gen stuff if you want to be able to really sell the game as much as the system.
And especially with the backwards compatibility that I think I heard are going to be in both consoles next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not as hard to do.
Right, because then if you do a PS4 release of something but somebody gets a PS5, they don't have to buy it again. They can still play that one.
Yeah.
Right.
It'll be interesting. It's going to be a long year before the next E3. But,
seriously.
It'll be a year.
I think we've hit all the talking points
Rock
I want to
bottom.
Talk about.
All the buttons.
Yes. So that was E3 this year. Thank you for listening to this extra long episode. We've been going...
Yeah, this is chunky.
We've been going a minute 40. Holy hell.
A minute 40.
Hopefully, the fact that we haven't been able to look at each other this entire time made the show better. I don't know.
I'm watching you guys.
Hopefully you're playing some games that you're looking forward to. We are still playing Breath of the Wild. That is going to be our continued discussion next week. And then a week after that, we are talking about a little game called Hollow Knight. That, like I said, I just started playing and I'm enamored with. So I have a lot of thoughts and I can't wait to talk about a little bit more of that. Oh, and we had a poll go off.
We had a poll. We had a poll that ended for our Final Fantasy game, and in a shocking comeback, we have a tie.
We have a tie.
Wow. We have a Final Fantasy tie.
Yes.
So, the comeback, 15 was leading for most of the poll.
And then 10
and had a hefty lead, and then all of a sudden, 10 just jumped right back in.
Right.
And it ended up in a dead tie between the two. So, my proposed strategy, boys, is we both of them go on our sooner rather than later shortlist. Like, obviously not too close to each other because they're lengthy RPGs.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
Like, we touch both of them sometime this year kind of thing.
I'm fine with that.
But maybe we flip a coin and see which one's first?
Sure.
Sure.
All right.
Do you want to do that right now?
I have justflipacoin.com pulled up on my phone.
Perfect.
And I am ready to go. This is not sponsored by justflipacoin.com.
Hit me.
Let's say heads is 15 and tails is 10.
Yep, that's great.
Great.
And we have landed on tails.
So we're doing
10.
10?
Final Fantasy 10.
Phenomenal.
Yay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to get that on my Switch.
So,
looking forward to having that.
Breath of the Wild, Hollow Knight, and Final Fantasy 10. That is our itinerary for the near future.
I am into that lineup.
Yeah, I'm down for that. Let's mess those games up. Baby.
So we'll do those three with a strong promise to hit 15 at the earliest possible opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Off goes a motorcycle. You can check out more of our stuff by listening to other episodes of Good Game, Great Game. Don't know where I was going there.
Good point, yeah.
If you haven't listened to last week's episode on Breath of the Wild, it is right there for your listening pleasure. You can follow us on social media. I am Papa Bear Zach on Twitter and Instagram. Andrew is at Andrew Orsi on those platforms. We are at Good Great Game on those platforms. And you can follow us for more rollicking witticisms of that like. Thank you to the James Rocket for the use of our theme song. It is called We Are Here For You. It's a delightful little ditty, and you can listen to it at thejamesrocket.bandcamp.com along with the rest of their wonderful discography. And thank you, Kevin, for being you.
Yeah, you're welcome, guys.
Thanks. Honestly, thanks, Kev.
Yeah, man.
You're welcome.
Anything else, fellas?
Nah.
Nope. Just got to get back to the circus now.
And let's.
That's right. I'm back at the circus now if you need to find me.
Oh, good. Great.
I'm holding off from doing my Bjork impression again this week because I'm saving it for part two of Breath of the Wild, Legend of Zelda, Bjork of the Wild.
Perfect.
Don't know what that means, Bjork, but we'll find out.
Coming next week, you'll see.
Come back next week. More Breath of the Wild talk with these three fucking goobers.
It just tickled me, Andrew. It just
Bjork of the
Wild.
Until next week, for Andrew Orsi and Kevin Ryder, this is Zach Rich saying, hey, listen to Good Game, Great Game, and your life might get better someday. Goodbye.
What kind of sign-off is this?
I lost it.
Consequences of what you do, but children are